Time for the best 5 minutes of the day. Jason Cairns, good morning.
Good morning.
Monday morning, 53 degrees and a fantastic forecast this week. I'm talking low 80s today and then climbing from 76 to 78 Tuesday through Thursday. How about that, huh?
That sounds really nice. The 53 this morning, I woke up and I thought, that's a little brisk.
Yeah.
It should be nice for a walk this morning.
Yeah, I thought about a long sleeve shirt, but I'm like, oh, come on. Toughen up. All right, so Mental Health Monday, we do this a lot of times, not always, but I was thinking about it today with the Olympics just having ended and Simone Biles and maybe some of the challenges she'd faced and was real about in the 2020 Olympics. And here, again, great success she had, one of the most decorated Olympians. But also, I wanted to think about the progress we've made societally in terms of being open and real and the acceptability of dealing with mental health issues is really kind of amazing these last 4 years.
Yeah, you know, I agree. I think that is something that I hope we continue to see in the world and in the church, where people are willing to seek help for things like depression, anxiety, stress, all of those things. You know, and I think people like Simone Biles have drawn attention to that. Now, certainly she's taken fire from people who think she is not going the right direction with that, but I'm grateful for her willingness to talk about that. You know, one of the challenges over the past few years has been access to mental health services.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I think that's where we're seeing things like BetterHelp arise, where
yeah.
it's there seems to be a cost savings and you can do it, you know, just through technology, right? So
yeah. And so, again, I think people our willingness to say, hey, here's where I'm hurting. Help me walk through this. You know, mm-hmm. I think is a good piece of advice. And, you know, obviously, Simone Biles comes back, wins another few golds. And, you know, she's powerful, what we've seen with her.
Yeah, she's an incredible athlete. It took, you know, as you look back on that, I mean, it took a lot of courage, really, to
Absolutely.
Be able to say, I just can't, you know, last time.
Absolutely.
And I can't
Very
imagine that. I mean, to train like that in the Olympics only every 4 years. But then for her to be able to come, what a great completion to that story. So, and then
Absolutely.
It didn't hurt as a Packers fan. Her husband, Jonathan Owens, was on the Packers last year. He's on the Bears now. He took a break to go to the Olympics. And then, I don't know what if it was a game or whatever it was, but she was wearing a Packers coat there. So... Just recently.
I did not see that.
Yeah,
That's
yeah,
wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw a lot of people posting it. All right. Well, we've got, we're starting off Acts chapter 6.
Yep. I read the 1 through 4.
You did. You did.
Yep.
So this is what you say in your devotional commentary, Letters to the Beloved, about those four verses. More people were devoting themselves to Christian teachings. It was becoming challenging for the apostles to meet everyone's needs, and some of the Greek-speaking Jews complained that their widows were getting missed in the daily provision of aid. The 12 apostles brought all of the disciples together and said, our primary task is to proclaim the word. And as our numbers grow, we cannot manage all these other tasks, too. Choose 7 from among you who possess wisdom and in whom the spirit is obvious and appoint them to the task. We will continue to devote our energy to praying and preaching.
You didn't want to finish that up?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The next paragraph. Okay. Yeah. The apostles did not believe they were too good for these tasks, but they could not perform all the work themselves. In my kingdom, everyone has a role to play, and all have different gifts. Allow each person an opportunity to work.
Yeah, you know, I think that's great. You know, we each have different gifts. We each have different skill sets that we can apply toward loving one another. One of my favorite things Richard Rohr has said is, you know, the church has different gifts. I just happen to be a mouth, you know, and I think that is true. You know, some of us are, you know, arms and some of us are ears. And, you know, we all have this, I think, general endowment of the spirit, but we can apply our unique skill sets to living and loving well.
Yeah, I think that what stands out to me in my memory of this Acts 6, 1 through is verse 4, where it talks about the apostles devoting themselves to the word and prayer. And as a younger believer, I mean, and maybe still, but I mean, just that really held up in terms of to be in that part of the ministry, to be able to not demeaning the other part, but to be able to be a person who was devoting him or herself to the word and prayers.
You bet.
All right. Thanks. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
You bet.
Our buddy Jason Cairns, WWIB. Today's number is 34. which wasn't that Herschel Walker's number? It's also the number of bathrooms in the White House. No wonder everybody wants to get there. All right, the Whip Wake Up Show, WWIB. Drew Fralick, the stand-up comic and pastor and author and world traveler from Detroit, Michigan. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Mark. This is, by the way, this is great music. Can we get this every week? Where is this coming out of the vault?
No, this is actually called Silly Topics. So there we go. Yes, you can have the Silly Topics song. Music from now on. This is your, it's your welcome
I love it.
Music.
This is a new theme song. Okay, I love it.
All right. So I sent you a quote the other day from Michael Jr. He says this, and he's a talented comic. I know he's been in the area. We've talked to him on the air before. We've seen him. He says, if I'm in a club, my material has to be clean enough to do work in a church. If I'm in a church, it has to be funny enough to work in a club. And so I threw it out to you and I said, hey, I think it would be worth talking about in terms of the difference between being a Christian comedian and a comedian who happens to be a Christian, because you're a pastor who has, your own. You do the Joke Gym on Wednesday night. So tell me, give me your take on all this.
Yeah. I mean, you've seen a lot of pastors try to be comedians. I think we've all experienced this on Sunday morning. Now you're watching a comedian try to be a pastor.
Yeah, right.
So it's an interesting thing. I think that what he said is good. I think, the most important thing is it's got to be funny. And, if you're working in a church, there's some guardrails, There's got to be some boundaries. I remember when we first started Joke Gym, we were figuring it out. We didn't know, like, what can you say? What can you not say? We were just figuring it out. And we did that for a few months. It became very clear, if you don't tell people explicitly, this is a church, kind of read the room, be aware of the space, respect the space. There's maybe 5% of comics that are just, they're savages, they'll just say anything. So I do think there's got to be some lines there if you're going to be a Christian comedian.
No, let me just say that's interesting you say 5%, because sometimes it seems like maybe those 5% can kind of create a perception that many more comics than just 5% will say anything.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's like a psychological study or something. Yeah. But I think there's 90% of people will look at the context they're in and be like, oh, I probably should act this way or that way.
Uh-huh.
And then 10% of people, or 5%, whatever, just don't know or don't care, or maybe both.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. There's your side nugget for the day.
Okay, but maybe in general, though, would you rather be known as you're a pastor. You co-pastor the church with your wife, and then also you are a comic, and you love comics, and you work with them, and they're friends, and you go to their, the videotaping of their Netflix specials, and so it seems less confining to be a comic who has faith than to specifically be called a Christian comedian, right?
I think so, mm-hmm. I would rather be a funny comedian that people, after I'm dead, say, yeah, he kind of reminded me of Jesus,
Mm-hmm.
He was a good dude. He was a loyal person.
He
was a generous, loving person.
Uh-huh.
So, I think the second one for sure.
Right. I'm going to try to see if we can get this music just to be around you all the time. I think it's...
we need some, you need to send someone from the WIB Wake Up Show to Detroit to follow me around with one of those boom boxes the 49ers carry out before the game.
Yes.
They're just riding their bike following my car around.
We're going to work on that. Yes.
It's perfect.
Thank you, Drew. All right. We'll have a lot of fun with the Packers and Lions discussion this season as well as they battle in the NFC North. Although Green Bay, not impressive last night. It's just a preseason game, folks. WIB, the WIB Wake Up Show. Halvo and Caleb, glad to be with you here on a Monday morning. And I think we got a winner, huh, Caleb?
We did indeed. So thank you so much to Lauren from Oliva, caller number 4 at 715-723-2555. Our latest winner for The Forge, which opens up not only this Friday, but actually an early showing this Thursday exclusively at Mycon Cinemas, Chippewa Falls. So again, this film from the creators of War Room, Overcomer, and Courageous, among many others, the Kendrick Brothers, powerful movie about growing up, finding our God-given purpose, and investing in the next generation. Lauren from Aliva, our latest winner of a pair of tickets for opening weekend at Mike on Chippewa Falls. And those giveaways courtesy of Chippewa Valley Home Inspections, LLC. Thank you to them, to Allie Rudd Financial Services, and also to Footprints in Time Birth Center and Family Clinic in Black River Falls and Greenwood. So stay tuned all this week for even more chances to win. And also be looking on our WWIB Radio Facebook page for bonus chances to win a ticket for you and for a role model in your life. That's our giveaways for The Forge opening this week at Mike on Chippewa Falls.
Sounds like another great, inspiring movie. Well, our weekend recap, my wife and I went out for dinner Friday night and came home and watched one of our favorite shows, Monk. I know it's been out there for a long time, but we're still kind of working through it. Probably second time for her. Trail Church was a part of my deal on Saturday for the first time. First time I ever walked the trails at Centennial Park. That was good. Made a mushrooms and cauliflower and garlic dish on Saturday. And next time, I think maybe going to add some chicken to it. More church on Sunday and dog walks, two of them, both days over the weekend. Cut the lawn as well.
All right. Well, there you go. Well, we were hauling kids to and from Rice Lake a few times over the weekend because it was cousin camp at my parents' house. And so all the cousins coming from all over, descending on the Red House, as they call it, my parents' house. And so they camped out in the backyard and went swimming and made s'mores and had all sorts of fun stuff playing together as cousins. So we went to pick everybody up after they were thoroughly worn out in a good way on Saturday. So we did that after a Costco run. Lindsay and I just were down to one child, just baby Teddy for a while, too. So that was different. Enjoyed some time together and enjoyed having the kids back. And then yesterday, church and helping a friend from church move. So it was something interesting. I mean, honestly, on a Sunday afternoon, typically what I would prefer to do is take a nap. But when you're working together with other folks, especially other men in the church, too, there was just something so fulfilling and enriching about, hey, we're joining together to serve. And I think I'm not someone, you know, admitted introvert. And so I struggle making small talk. I struggle wanting to even talk to other people. But there's something about just having those conversations as you're serving together that I think is really, really beneficial. So especially for the guys, I'd encourage that. Get out and serve together. I know it's good for me and probably good for you as well, too.
So. Sounds good.
Well, let's start off on a Make Us Laugh Monday with a joke that we just got on the listener line at 715-396-1670.
And beautiful Monday with you. Why is a stick of butter very smart? Because it leaves no margin for error.
Well, there you go. That starts us off.
Thank you very much. All right. We welcome your participation. And after you hear our jokes, you go, well, I can do better than that. So that's terrific. Here we go. First one from me this morning. With school so close, Caleb, what did the teacher do with the student's report on cheese?
I'm not sure.
She graded it.
I like that. Well, did you hear about the Viking Rudolph the Red? He looked outside and proclaimed it was going to rain. His wife asked, what makes you say that? Rudolph the Red knows rain, dear.
Okay. Chuckling, yes. Here's my second one. Having hit 60 this summer, Caleb, I've reached the age where I can't tell if I've sustained injury or that's just the way I am now.
Oh, man.
Oh, my second joke going to make us laugh Monday. Scientists have found that cows produce more milk when the farmer talks to them. Apparently, it's a case of in one ear and out the udder.
Okay. All right. Two for two on chuckles here on my end to yours. All right. Last one this morning for me. To the person who stole my camouflage jacket and my flip-flops, listen, buddy, you can hide, but you can't run.
Oh, man, that was actually a real laugh from me. So,
thank you.
Yes, well done on that one. Final joke. My neighbor knocked on my door at 2 a.m. this morning and said, I can't sleep. Well, it's your lucky day, I said. We've got a party going on here. Come on in.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
There you go.
Yeah, presidents. We'll elect one coming up in 78 days, hopefully. And this segment, Caleb, presidents are just like us. They eat just like us.
Apparently. So, again, some things that you might not realize that the leaders of the free world eat and say, hey, those things are kind of just like what I might take in.
Yeah. For instance, the Democratic National Convention kicks off in Chicago today, and apparently somebody had commented that because Kamala Harris likes Doritos, that she wasn't right to be president. Well,
I don't know how Doritos feels about that. Slanderous.
Yeah, but what did Ronald Reagan like?
Jelly beans. Uh-huh. A well-known favorite of Ronald Reagan, particularly black licorice-flavored jelly beans.
You know, I part come with him on that one, but my mother-in-law, a fan of black licorice. George H.W. Bush had a fondness for pork rinds, especially with Tabasco sauce. I've had pork rinds a lot, never with Tabasco sauce.
Former President Richard Nixon had a peculiar taste for cottage cheese with ketchup.
Oh. All right. Well, don't knock it till you tried it. I've not. Bill Clinton, who's going to speak, it sounds like, Wednesday night at the convention in Chicago, known for his love of fast food, also enjoyed jalapeno peppers as a snack.
And former president, current candidate Donald Trump has been photographed noshing on well-done steak with ketchup, Big Macs, Filet-O-Fish sandwiches, and KFC. So it seems like, again, in recent years, fast food has been kind of like what the presidents enjoy. There you go. I don't know. I mean, there's that commercial where Davante Adams has a Taco Bell in his house.
Yeah.
You think that the White House could have something installed, too, for whoever.
Did you see, speaking of, along those lines, the White House, the number for the day we had after the 6:30 weather, 34. That's how many bathrooms they have in the White House.
Wow. Be easy to get lost in there, that's for sure.
Caleb, you know, you think about different sports you like and maybe ask yourself, how long could I play that? Well, some Michigan pickleball players are setting their sights on a world record for longevity.
Not just, oh, hey, we really enjoy this, we're going to get out and play for a couple hours. They're going to say, hey, can we do something no one has ever done before? And it's a group of four folks from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Yeah, that's right. They're going to try to set the Guinness World Record for the most consecutive hours spent playing pickleball. They'll try to play for 30 hours straight starting November 23rd at the All In Pickleball Gym.
Julie Andersma says they're raising money for Gift of Life Michigan as one of their fellow players needs a kidney transplant.
Like, having a Guinness record is cool, but then actually raising money for charity, for somebody we know, makes it have a purpose. And so I think when we get tired, that'll probably be what keeps us going.
Yeah, that's pretty cool for them, doing it on behalf of their friend and fellow player. Now, the current record is 27 hours and 5 minutes. So, yeah, why not shoot for 30?
Yeah, but that's a lot of hours consecutively to be playing pickleball.
Just to be up and, I mean, standing. And I imagine there's something in the rules they allow you to, you know, you got to take a break a little bit in between, right?
So. Well, and I realize pickleball is kind of a, I don't want to say poor man's tennis. That's not what I'm trying to say. But it's just, you know, it's less trouble for the knees and joints and things like that than
the court, you know, is smaller
than playing tennis, and so yes, it's not quite as intensive exercise, but it's certainly exercise. So for 30 hours straight, you're gonna burn some calories.
Fantastic. So we wish them well.